Hey, NFL Australia, how you going? I am your host, co-host as it were, James Clements. I'm a guy, you can see me on Fox Sports Lab NFL with a good friend, Matty Campbell. Had a good one this week. I talked up Cincinnati, smoked. Talked up Baltimore, what happened there? It's like, oh, well, that's okay. And then good times, great memories. Anyway, you can also see me on CodeBet Daily, codebet.com.au. We're all right, my big NFL picks on a Friday. Here in Larry Armour Studios, very dark and dim kind of Larry Armour Studios at the moment. But it's okay because the dog's flying, Gaz. It's all good. And that's right, on the other side of this here computer, it's a bloke who just turned, I think he's now 49 by my reckoning.
44, come on. He's up a little bit, mate.
I think you're 44. Aging dog years after 40, don't you, buddy?
Something like that.
No, he is a bloke whose team got him a really good present today. A win. Yeah. But also, whiskey on the weekend.
There you go.
That was good. His team is 9-1, and he is the sometime singer in a band called The Ramshackle Army. He is my mate. He's your mate. He is 1 year older. It is Gaz. Gaz, what's going on?
Oh, it's been a big... I'm a bit tuckered out. I'm not going to lie.
Take it out of tucker bag.
It was a few days of drinking in a row, led by, you know, a park session with your fine self and the squids on Saturday. And then up at Sparrow's Fart to watch a bunch of epically close games that I couldn't sleep through. Usually I can doze off, but it was quite epic this week. And then today... Well, your mate's birthday, I get to stop work in the middle of the day to see a Super Bowl rematch. And that was a favourable outcome, Jim. So I'm in a good spot.
Good stuff. It was an awesome week. So we're going to wrap up week 11. Chaotic week. Really good vibes as well because I think, well, not great vibes because we had a weird sort of one in, was it Jets? No, the Bills. What was it? The Bills Jets game, Bills. I feel like. That got pushed back like a half hour because of like a... Ambo on the field and stuff, but outside of that, it sort of like was really structured nicely. It felt like it really rolled out. Chaos though everywhere. So we'll talk about all those close games. We'll do some Yanars. We'll do good bloke and vlog of the week. We've got Outback Takeout. We've got the week 12 picks. I've got some thoughts and some fantasy. And that'll be it. That's a good one.
Yeah.
Chockers. God, there's a lot to talk about. So let's get into it. One big, dumb NFL Australia package for you. Episode 86 of NFL Australia. Oof.
Let's
go. Stop asking questions. I don't like it when you ask questions. Don't ask me that question again. It's mean. You're being naughty. Quit it. Don't ask me questions. I don't like you anymore. You're not my friend. Oh, hey, this is Brandon Staley, and you're listening to NFL Australia. Ah, tell you what, Gaz. What a week it was. That is the sound of a man who's about to lose his job.
But at least he'll still call defensive plays, Jim. How dare you ask him? He's like, don't worry about the defensive plays. Worry about when you join the queue for Centrelink, mate.
It's going to be a tough one. How many forms do you reckon to fill in? it is like the Brandon Staley defensive thing. It's like, don't ask me that question anymore. It's like, I feel like we should. Here's your bit.
It might change next week.
You've been shit. Stop it. That's right. So after last week's show, we were like sort of bang on. It's like, oh, man, Cleveland looking good. Cincy looking good. Boom, boom. Joe Burrow done for the year. Deshaun Watson out for the year. We were bang. I think we spent most of last episode just talking about the AFC North in general, essentially. And two of the quarterbacks are now Dunskies. Good thing is Flacco's back. He's elite. We know that.
Is it a good thing, though?
The funniest thing in the world would literally be if Joe Flacco led this Cleveland team to a Super Bowl. Like, off the street, the Smoking Joe just rolls in. It's like, I'm the real original Smoking Joe.
He's him and his one eyebrow.
I love it.
Style, fucking.
Brutal. Yeah. Brutal one, though. So Deshaun, he had, like, an injury that he sort of copped in that last game. And then it just was like, once they looked at it, they're like, oh, now that's rooted.
Yep.
Better chop that open. And so that's what they're doing. And so we had, what was it, DTR start this week. Didn't do too bad a job.
Sorry. No.
But Flacco got some. Don't mind him with Flacco. It's pretty good. And Joe Burrow, though, that was the tough one. Couldn't throw the football on Thursday night.
Couldn't hold the football. Couldn't grasp it.
I think I did already make the joke that he looked like me trying to throw the football after my third attempt at throwing a football my arm gives way because I tore my tricep 12 years ago.
A war injury.
It is. It's like, oh, a bit of shrapnel still in there. I tore it so badly, all the blood pooled at the top of my elbow. It was horrible. Yeah. Did something bad to it. So, like, every time, like, basically, I get to like my fourth or fifth throw and it just goes full blown noodle arm. Burrow was that. It's like, ah, I can't throw. Jeez, my hand is sore. And that was it. And it wasn't good. So, that stinks. Like, if you have any of the Cincinnati Bengals players in your fantasy or you bet on them to like hit statistical landmarks and stuff, you'd be just like, oh, man, that's just shit. But also, yep, just as a general NFL fan like me, it fucking sucks. I love the Bengals when they're up and about. They're fun as hell.
Yep.
Like, as I keep yelling about,
cockiness, yep,
balance on both sides of the ball. It's just good football when they're like absolutely at their best. I love watching them. So it stinks. Otherwise, we have more close games. We had a couple of like a bunch of 1-point games, which is just, it doesn't happen that often. And it feels like it just keeps happening in the last couple of weeks.
Sneaky ones, either one on the last kick or because of missing the last kick. And some big comebacks where you're like, oh, this, they can't knock them off, can they? And sure enough, they couldn't.
Yeah. We have Brandon Staley having a sook. I mentioned that just then. Asked if he would. Basically, they're like, hey, are you going to keep calling the plays on defense? He's like, you can stop asking that question. I'm going to be calling the defenses, okay? So we're clear. So you don't have to ask that again. You're a defensive coach and your defenses are routinely getting torched and you're shit. So I think we're going to keep on asking.
Yep.
It's great. Great work by the less than great man. Other interesting bit was Jimmy Johnson and Jerry Jones buried the hatchet.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Fascinating setup.
Yep.
Do you reckon Jerry's going to learn a lesson from this?
No, fuck no.
I love it.
He got in there for after 30 years, broke it to him on the news that he's going to be in the what do they call it? The Ring of Honor. There you go. And it's only after you rushed him out of town 30 fucking years ago after he's knocked you two Super Bowls in, and then you've barely talked to him since.
The crazy part is that's probably the last time that Jerry hired a coach that would talk back to him and tell him how it was.
Yeah, exactly. Right?
Yep. And what happened when Jerry had a coach who did that?
Yeah, he won a Super Bowl, mate.
Won Super Bowls. And yeah, good job, Jerry. Great job. Yeah. Other news, Zach Wilson finally got benched in that game this week, which was hilarious because you got Tim Boyle, ironically named the exact same name as the younger brother of one of my good mates. It's like Tim Boyle. He's not a quarterback. He's just a bloke who runs a business.
He's just a guy.
Just I know he's kids. That sort of vibe. But the best part was he got like instantly demoted to QB3.
Mm.
Oh, I love it when it's like, you're the guy. You're the guy. Nah, fuck you. QB3. Yeah. It's just.
But someone else would want to see how whether they're fucking woeful in front of you.
My favorite part is like, why now? And like, what did they say this week? They're like, oh, I don't think he's got it, Gash. Demote him. The best part is, yeah, he's behind Boyle and Trevor Siemian, who they just signed off the practice squad. So,
and you got Mr. Rogers saying that he's going to come back in time for Christmas. And by that stage, they could be a 9-loss team. So what's the fucking point?
The point is to make Aaron Rodgers seem like the world's biggest fucking hero in Aaron Rodgers' mind.
Yep.
Good stuff. Kareem Jackson, he's going to pop up again later in one of our other awards, but fuck that guy.
Yeah.
I love it. It's literally his first tackle back after being suspended for a dangerous tackle. He's now been suspended 4 more games for another dangerous tackle. Great job, Kareem. You dig it? Hit Dobbs in just brutal fashion where I felt it in my teeth. That's how hard he fucking hit him. I don't know if he's got a thing about against blokes with alopecia. I don't know what his vibe is, but Kareem Jackson can go get fucked. Amazingly, there was no penalty on that play, Gaz.
It wasn't.
He was suspended 4 games and no ref threw a fucking flag.
No. No. We'll just check on the replay, will we? Tomorrow, not now, when it fucking matters.
Oh, man. Kevin O'Connell had a fucking conniption, and rightly so. But I think that was kind of just in general, the refs had a bit of a rough one this week. There was some wildly dubious calls, I would say, for some fucky passing.
No different for the rest of the season, right? They've been doing it all year.
it's just been a, it just felt like in some big moments this this week, you're like, oh, that was a bit douche. What are we doing? It's just, I think most fans would be pretty cool if like it was just consistent. Like, and that's what we all vibe on, right? It's like the inconsistency that'll fuck you.
Yeah.
And, it stinks. Last little bit, Sam Howell, sack watch. Four more this week. He's up to 51. Oh, I don't know if he's going to get the record, Gaz. 25, 26.
Closing in on it. They got a couple of games versus, what, still got the Cowboys to play?
We need a massive, like, 8 or 9 sack game this week.
Micah Parsons. Come on, mate. Come on, mate.
Just well, we did have a 9 sack game this week, and it was the first time anyone has been sacked 9 times and had, like, the possession battle won and actually won the game. So,
yep.
Pretty good. Good job, Giants. Injuries. We had, was it Joey Bosa? The one that's on the Chargers.
The other one. The other Trump supporter.
One of my favorite tweets this week was because everyone's going back through Travis Kelce's old tweets, and they're wildly wholesome because he's just a big dummy, and I love it. He's just like, how good's like Subway?
You know, I was going to say most of them are about just rocking in with some Taco Bell.
It's food related. I'm like, I relate. It's like most of my old tweets used to be bees. How good are bees? Eat all our bees. And Travis Kelce's just a big dummy. He's like, I want to go play with squirrels. And someone pointed out, it's like, if you just have a tweet from like 2011 Travis Kelce, it's like, oh, I'm going to go fight a squirrel. That'll be funny or some shit. And then it's like 2011 tweet from like a Bosa. And it's like, this tweet is like
being deleted.
Really guidelines and shit.
That checks out.
Cooper Kupp, he came out of that game for the Rams. He's day-to-day. Just a heads up for your fantasy teams. Mark Andrews, this is actually a good bit of injury news because it looked like it was done for the season.
Oh.
I don't know if we had him sorted for – did we talk about that injury last week? I don't know if we did.
No, because it was that game. It was the same – it was the Cincinnati game. It was
That's right.
The him and Burrow went out the same one.
Yep. So he got hurt – I think it was his ankle, right?
Yes.
It was like a couple of hip drops.
Yeah.
And both Lamar and Mark Andrews got injured on a hip drop and looked like he was going to be done for the season. So they sort of said, yeah, that might be him. He's cooked. And then John Harbaugh came out and was like, he might be back soon. It's like, well, I feel like a lot of your playoff hopes sort of rest on him actually being back. So that'll be good. And what have you got there as well?
And yeah, in the 49ers game, Hufanga's gone out, done an ACL. Safety for the Niners, gone for the year. That's a tough break.
That sucks. Fucking team. All right, let's do a week 11 wrap. Cincy, Baltimore, as we mentioned, at the top. Burrow done. And because of that, the Ravens just ran over the top of them. This game was billed to be awesome, and it sort of started off like it had a bit of a chutzpah to about it. It was like very sort of AFC Northy to start off with, and then it just sort of fell apart.
Yeah.
Because he came out what the... Burrow came out in the second quarter, and they didn't have him on the injury list, which was obviously very strange because, you know, against the rules.
But the investigation's going to come. There's all these conspiracy theories that he got off with got off the plane with a glove, and they're like, oh, what if it's not a glove? There's a whole Rich Eisen segment on the other day. But what is a glove that you can use when you're drawing on an iPad that it stops your finger dragging and it looks exactly like the thing that he got off? I'm like, are you fucking serious? Internet sleuths are out.
But 34-20, Lamar was really good in this one.
Yep.
Even though he sort of got rolled up on, they were sort of okay. Odell went over 100 yards as well, which is kind of neat.
Yep.
And I sort of
he's getting into the vibes, right?
Yeah, I went into this one where I'm like, oh, I think it'll be a bit of a defensive struggle. And it was like 34-20 because the Ravens just kept on scoring. Like Gus Edwards got in twice and all that sort of stuff. And you're like, oh, yep, cool. This is
Nelson Aguilar got in. He's still kicking around.
The Nelson Aguilar touchdown was like the death knell in that game. You're like, oh, Aguilar just stiff arming dudes and just like running it over. So huge for the Ravens, though, because they're now 8-3 atop the entire AFC by themselves now. So, you'll take that.
And really, the only team in the North with a qualified starting quarterback.
Now, it stinks. It stinks, I tell you.
Speaking of two teams without qualified quarterbacks.
The next one,
Oh, no, sorry. You were doing it in a different order than I was going to do it in.
What were you going to look at?
Oh, sorry. I had Steelers-Browns next.
Well, we can talk about that anyway, because Steelers-Browns...
The other North game.
...was absolutely los horrible.
Yeah.
The one thing I never really sort of thought about this game was like betting the under. And I probably should have, because it was 23 total points. It was 13 to 10. And this is one of those ones where you're like, yeah, I missed a trick there. Sort of screwed that one.
I think there was the fucking stats. It was midway through. It was beginning of the fourth quarter. The Steelers had put up like 140 yards total offense, and 74 of that came on the Warren run.
Yep.
Right? It was nothing.
Warren is awesome as well, BT Dubs. I love him.
Yeah.
And
where's Najee playing next year? Because this is it. Hell.
It's like, stop trying to make fetch happen, Gaz. It's like, yep. Stop trying to make Najee happen there, Matt Canada. But look, this was an absolute grind of a game. You did have Garrett picking up a Steelers helmet, and you're like, well, last time this happened, something bad then followed, where he basically tried to cave in another man's skull, you see. And that's bad.
Yep.
And they made a joke about it. He had a laugh.
Just kidding.
Kenny Pickett probably cried. He's such a trooper. But amazing stuff. DTR, look, Cleveland are a weird team. We sort of know that, right?
Yep.
They're going to continue to be a weird team. But that defense is fucking legit. And it might not matter that Dorian Thompson-Robinson can't do much. But even this one, he was fine-ish. You know, one sack, one interception. That's kind of it.
That's fun.
So, yep. Anyway, I think it was it like there was a Ford? Was it Mike Ford? I think not Jerome Ford. He grabbed a towel.
Oh, wiped his ass with it.
Wiped his ass with it. So you stay classy there, Cleveland. The defense is going at it. Like this is, it's still stunning to me that Cleveland won this, and they're now 7-3.
Yeah.
It would have also been stunning if Pittsburgh had won this to be 7-3. So it was kind of like, this should have been a tie. Let's all go home
and just pretend this never happened.
We had Hopkins kick the game winner and good job. Next game up, we had the Chargers Green Bay. That was a weird one. The Chargers really charged this one up, Gaz.
Fucking hell. How did they give this one? I'm like, all right, this is going to be under control. This is going to be sorted. And then not.
God. You've got, Keenan Allen dropping passes that hit him in the chest.
Yep.
Touchdowns. You've got Quinton Johnson dropping game-saving throws that Herbs is just like, I could not have thrown that better to you. What are you doing? Yep. And sort of just hurts your heart if you're a Chargers fan or a Jazzy Herbs fan like me. But Green Bay just sort of got through this by the skin of their teeth.
Yep.
It was pretty funny. Herbs ended up with like 260 yards and a couple of touchdowns, but this was like the Chargers defense. This is why you're going to keep asking Brandon Staley, yo, what the fuck? Because you let Jordan Love have his first ever 300-yard passing game, and he looked awesome.
Made him look great. Yeah, like
the secondary shit.
Yeah. Wicks had an awesome game. Jaden Reed was like, yeah, rushing and receiving. It was cool around the place. All the rookie, if you like, looking at any receiver on Green Bay and you're like, I don't recognize him. Safe bet he's a fucking rookie, and you'll be right. Right? Like just fucking young kids everywhere. And just like, as you said, Staley, you're a defensive-minded coach. You've previously sacked. You were putting up points in previous years. You sacked the offensive coordinator, getting someone else who's continuing to put up points. And you continue to fuck games time and time again. Like, I don't get it, man.
It is chaos.
But it's also that, like, it's the talent on that fucking defense too.
Yep.
Right? It makes no sense that you should be able to, like, let mediocre teams beat you when you're talking about, Derwin James and fucking Khalil Mack and all this sort of stuff. You're like, what the fuck? Sunday Samuel Jr. Oh, come on, man.
Bill Belichick is going to do great with this team. I'm just saying. Super Bowl next year. Anyway, look, I sort of have these in the notes. It's like these two teams feel like the same sort of team.
Yeah.
Where you just can't trust them week in, week out, and you don't know what the fuck's going to happen, right? And if they're favored or underdogs by more than like 3 points, just take the points.
Yeah.
Tennessee, Jacksonville. Less said about this game, the better, because this was a laugher. 34-14. It was a laugher to the point where they had a trick play, which was sick for Tennessee. It's like, you're down like 31-0 or whatever the fuck it was, or like 28-0. It was 27-0 or something, maybe. You know, don't run the trick play then.
Why?
What are you doing? It was good, and Hopkins had a sick touchdown. But aside from that, what the fuck are we all doing?
So on top of what you've famously said time and time again, can't trust these guys, not at home, that they've just hit the full 12 months without since they last won away.
The Titans are not good out of Nashville, just saying. Ridley was really good in this one. Trevor Lawrence continues to be like the, hey, I'm bad. No, I'm pretty good kind of QB. And it's weird because he had some really nice moments in this one, like little scrambles. Like, yeah, do that more, T-Law. What are you doing? Anyway, Jacksonville, though, that's a good win because it keeps them pretty firmly at the top of that AFC South, just as Houston are fucking charging at them. So pretty good, pretty gnarly. Vegas, Miami, another fucking slog. 20-13. The Raiders didn't score in the second half. Tua over 300 yards. Tyreek Hill goes for another 146. That was like 14-13, I think, at halftime. And then, sort of just hold on and win the game. It's very much like, I don't know, this Raiders team just don't have like the horses at this point to sort of have a crack.
Oh, the Tyreek Hill play was like four different receivers were corralling him and he's just burst straight through and you're like, see you fucking later.
It was gnarly. Just like, he's like, ah, you got me. No, you don't. Fuck you.
Yeah, well, by all rights, they should have like fucking destroyed this team. But should have, could have, didn't I?
Good job for Miami. 7-3 now with Buffalo falling apart. You know, to a degree, at least. They have a stranglehold on the AFC East, which is very cool. What was it? The next one, Dallas, Carolina. The Cowboys kicked the shit out of them because Panthers are a bad team. That's what Dallas do. Kick the shit out of the bad teams.
Yep.
33-10.
Yeah. As you've said, Bland, another pick six. He's now got equal the record, 4 pick sixes this season. And a couple of dodgy teams left to play. So, yeah.
He's also got like a, what is it, like 11 pick sixes or something? Like, I think, oh no, maybe he's played 11 games or something. I can't remember the bland stat. It was like absolutely crazy as they're saying it on the broadcast. He's got 4 this year already, right? Just insane.
Yep. He started this year as a backup, right? Because Diggs was he's replaced Diggs as starter.
That is absolutely Diggs went out. Sick.
Mm.
What a mad dog. And like, I think that one actually came in a pretty crucial moment as well, like the top of the fourth from memory, where I think Dallas had only just finally made it again a 2-score game after Carolina got it back to like 17-10 or whatever. Dallas just did enough
and then just put the foot down. Yeah, Tony Pollard finally found the end zone again. It was a pretty nice play as well, like busting through and you're like, that's that guy that everyone who drafted you high in fantasy was expecting to fucking see.
That fucking old mate over here, Jim. Yeah. Jesus, where the fuck's that been all season? Anyway, what else? We had Arizona, Houston. This game was insane because you had Kyler Murray versus CJ Stroud. 21-16. Yeah. Texans hold on after not scoring again in the second half because CJ was awesome in the first half and then 3 interceptions.
It was fucking weird.
One of them wasn't.
There's one.
Kyler Murray wasn't bad in this either. Singletary just comes out and just drops another 100 rushing yards in this
game.
That's
fucking weird. Like, who the fuck are you?
Again, it's like you're a fucking Bills cast off.
Every time I drafted you going, the Bills need a run game. They'll be fine. I'm going to take their lead back in Singletary. And you fucking,
But this was solid, like Arizona were right there the entire time and then just fall apart like right at the end.
Yep.
And there was the great quote, I think, from CJ where it's like, hey, CJ, you're going to worry about throwing interceptions? And he's like, man, Steph Curry doesn't ever stop shooting. You know what I mean?
It's like, fair call.
Say that. But it was pretty crazy, like down the stretch where you're like, Kyler might be about to like, oh, here we go. And then they sort of battled it down like right at the end where you're like, they're right here.
Yep.
It would have been very funny for Arizona to go in there and beat Houston, but Houston.
Yeah, it feels like either one or multiple of Tank Dell and or Nico Collins is going over 150 every game, or at least 140. The Tank Dell came in 149 this week.
Yeah, what is it, Noah Brown as well, right?
Noah Brown.
They basically cycle through those three dudes, and it's like, today it's going to be Tank Dell. It's like chaos. What else? We had we already talked about that one. Giants, Washington. 31-19.
DeVito!
Giants win. Tommy DeVito. Hey, you see my dude, Tommy DeVito?
These ones. The old fucking Italian hand, Jim. Anyone who's not watching the video can't see this, but he's doing these ones. It's like the Johnny Football fucking dollar signs. But to the waiter. That's fucking genius.
Saquon broke this one open for them late, and they end up with like another pick six. Sam Howell wasn't very good in this one.
No.
It's like the Sam Howell experience. You're like, one week he looks fucking awesome. The next one you're like, Jesus, Sam, that's not very good. Three deceptions, the four sacks, as I mentioned earlier. Just not great. This is a Giants team that's got nothing to play for. They were 2-8, and now 3-8, and Tommy DeVito threw for 3 touchdowns and was fucking.
But I'm there 3. But it's just, it's that weird thing about saying, you know, the East playing each other and all the divisions playing each other. Of the three wins, two of them have been against, they've done a clean sweep of Washington, right?
So weird.
So fucking weird.
Divisional games, absolute chaos.
Because he also got smacked, right? Because he got, this is the 9 sacks. What is it? 5 in the first. It was a first 5 sack first quarter in recent memory, right?
There was also no hot water there in Washington, so
yes. Oh, spoilers for later. It's fucking weird.
Watching this again, Washington, you just have those moments where you're like, what's Ron Rivera's record as a coach? And you're like, oh, that's right, he's had like 2 winning seasons ever.
Yeah,
the shit is going on, man. And he's not very good. So,
yes.
See how it goes. Because
I still find it really, really weird. 9 sacks after trading away Chase Young and Montez Sweat.
It's crazy. Ron Vera, he's coached 201 games in his career. He is 102-97.
There you go.
He's literally.
And that's after a Super Bowl winning coach, which is why, like, that, you know. Lightning in a bottle once, and then everyone's trying to get back.
Ending coach, because they lost that one.
I did too. Yep, you're right.
3 winning seasons in 13 years.
And not one in the last 5? I think he finished at 500 when they won the division.
Yep, 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Absolute chaos. He is los horrible.
Mm-hmm.
Good on him, though. Get paid. Get paid, Ron. Nice one. Chicago, Detroit. This one was chaos. 31-26. Detroit scored 15 points out of nowhere, down the stretch. Chicago, that is beautiful tanking. It's just beautiful. Jesse Fields looks like the guy again. You're like, oh, shit, we could build on something. The defense looks handy at times.
Yeah, they'll find it more.
Off we go. And then you roll over. And it's just perfect. I love this Detroit team. Amon Ra St. Brown. David Montgomery hilariously let go by the Bears. Lions get him for fucking nothing, basically, and he tears their heart out, and he loved it after the game. So enjoyed that. Lions were always going to – like, this was one of the weirdest ones, and, like, it, of course, they only win by 5 and completely fucks everyone's betting because it's like, come on, man, the Lions at home, they're going to fucking kill them. And Justin Fields is really, really good.
Mm.
Like, literally, this – Detroit team down the stretch where you're like, hey, boys, you're going to ever put the foot? Oh, they finally put the foot down and scored the last 3 scores of the game. With the, was it the safety at the very end, right? So they got back up in front with the 2 touchdowns in the last bit of the fourth quarter.
Yep.
Scored really quickly and then get the safety and you're like, oh man, they're almost going to cover. Oh, they didn't.
They didn't. Yep.
I love the Lions. Tampa. Niners, Brock Purdy's really good.
Yep.
Like, perfect, good. I'm going to talk about this again later, but the perfect passer rating.
Yep.
Which for some reason is 158.3.
Yeah.
Like that's.
Oh, I don't know how maths works, mate.
I'm no maths magician or a maths scientist, but that's perfect. He went 21 to 25. He had 333 passing yards and 3 touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
Baker did not. So Baker did have like a good touchdown to Mike Evans there, but 27-14, Niners just sort of crushed the life out of him, right?
Yep.
It's like a late Tampa touchdown out of nowhere, and
that Ayuk guy is pretty good.
Any Ayuk can play. Make out a nine good, late as well that fucked them up, and yeah, Niners smash 27-14. Buffalo Jets. This was hilarious. Wilson gets benched 32-6. Brutal watch, but because it was like the only because of the weird delays and everything, you're like, well, it's still going. I'll continue to watch it. And it was sort of like watching just like a really slow motion car crash. Like New York just can't get Breece Hall going at all. And then suddenly Buffalo is throwing like massive bombs to Khalil Shakir. So his hips don't lie, I guess.
But Josh reminds me of so back in the Chip Kelly days, right, when the Eagles were putting up all of these points and, you know, that kind of like speed kills kind of offense was great. But the moment that it doesn't click, the defense is continually back on the field. And by the end of it, they're just like, oh, fuck you, dude. Just hold on to the fucking ball. And then you just feel sorry for this defense. It's so stacked. But when the offense can't do a fucking thing, well, you're just gassed, right? They're just constantly out there.
Yep. Tough scenes. The thing for me is like Josh Allen looked pretty good in this one, 3-1. So 3 touchdowns, 1 interception. And it was just like the nervousness though is still there for me. Like you're watching me like, what's he going to do now? He's going to throw it to them. Oh, he almost did. Almost did. Yeah, there you go.
There's always that just kind of the couple of games that are fucking out of this world. Rocket on target, on the run, makes it with his legs. There are a couple that are just absolute fucking stinkers. Yep. And just a bunch of that creamy middle, as you like to call it. But it's depending on what extreme was last, how we see him.
Yeah, in the sense of just being
the sold. Recency effect, Jim.
It is. I love a good bit of recency bias. That's what I'm all about. but that drops the Jets to 4-6. Buffalo 6-5. They needed to get that one because their horror stretch just begins now.
Yep.
Seattle lose a heartbreaker to the Rams, 17-16. We sort of mentioned this, right? Like, it's the Rochambeau, the rock, paper, scissors of the NFC West.
Who beats who?
It's like, all right, so McVay beats Pete Carroll. Pete Carroll beats Shanahan. Shanahan beats McVay. And they all beat Arizona. So
constantly,
I love that. It's chaos. Violent game. Like, Geno must fucking feel like he got hit by a car.
Dude, like,
So I mentioned the reffing shit earlier. Like, he just got lit the fuck up. And the one where Aaron Donald just absolutely fucking mashed him.
Yep.
If that is any other QB, it's roughing the passer.
Yeah.
It's Geno. It's apparently fucking not. It's
just
absolute
tough guy though. Went off with the elbow. Fucking Drew Lock came on for what, six passes with an interception.
Drew Lock was horrible. And he comes back in, leads the drive back, get within field goal range after a couple of dumb penalties and stuff like this. And you're like, oh shit. And Myers misses the game winner.
Yep. But that was fucking weird. Like, so they got to 55, what would be a 55 yard out, but there was still 30 seconds on the clock and they ran the ball 2 yards.
Yep.
And you're like, come on, man, at least kind of have a crack at taking a chunk out of it and take a little. Yes, Myers kicked from 61, but you don't assume 55's a fucking, it's hardly automatic.
It was weird that they were like, she'll be right.
Yeah. I mean, Myers, he was on a run and he's, one of the top 5 kickers in the league, but fuck me, mate. Help a guy out.
It's literally like, what was there? There's like a minute to go in that last sort of sequence and they get the first down, right? I think two, like 40 seconds left, I reckon.
Yeah.
And they're like, all right, that'll do.
Yeah.
It's like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, I don't know.
Yep.
Anyway. Good stuff. Sucked in Seattle because that probably obviously cost them probably a shot at the division and could eventually sink them for a playoff spot. 6-4. LA are just sort of hanging around, 4-6.
It's weird, isn't it?
Good team. Weird team. Last two, Minnesota, Denver, another chaos game, 21-20. So we've got a missed field goal game winner. And this one we had Rusty with a massive Cortland Sutton touchdown. And
on a jump ball. Yeah. Well, and all of a sudden, Rusty's looking good. Well, four games in a row? Four wins in a row? Is it?
I think it's four for Denver, yeah. Four?
Yeah.
I'm not going to pretend like it makes sense, Gaz.
No. No. The defense is looking decent. They're he's still not putting up a bunch of yards, as I would know, as my quarterback in my dynasty league. I'm like, come on, Rusty. And he still looks that bit slow and he still like acts like he's old Rusty. But, man, he's doing enough. His touchdown interception ratio is pretty fucking nuts.
Yeah.
Man, just win, baby.
259 yards, just sort of did enough, hit Sutton. Otherwise, this was like pretty back and forth. And Dobbs is fine and fun, right? And it's like, all right, it's kind of cool. They had like the fumble really, really early and Denver get it. And it's sort of, you're like, oh shit, this might be the game where everything sort of falls over for the Vikings.
Mm.
They sort of steadied and then ended up taking the lead. And you're like, you're all right. Maybe they're just going to keep Minnesota-ing this one. And when they go up, what, 17-9, you're like, oh, okay, I think they might be all right. And then there's a big INT. I think start of the fourth quarter, and you're like, oh, Denver are going to be right here. They kick that field goal. Minnesota then kick another one back at them, and then Denver get that touchdown. And you're like, yep,
that's it. It's
pretty crazy. So
Wrap up.
They tried the two-point conversion. It doesn't go. Minnesota can't get basically down the field the way that they have in the past. Game over. They are now 6-5. The NFC is pretty weird for that. Denver are 5-5. And this is one of those weird games where you're like, when was the last time you remember the Vikings playing the Broncos?
Yeah.
AFC, NFC, weird teams. Like, bye. Seriously.
I think we mentioned that when we were picking them last week. You're like, oh, I don't fucking know. I've got no idea. Because as you said, they're kind of that middle of the path, but like the Vikes feel like they're just holding on for dear life. And Denver have all of a sudden gone on a run, but you're not sure how and why.
They can make the playoffs. It's crazy. They're 5-5 now. So,
and it doesn't actually feel like it's down to Sean Payton. Like, he doesn't feel like he's added some weird influence. It's just like Rusty seems a little bit more comfortable.
I think it's
and
just
to know the players around him.
I think it's just him finally, you know, he's treated Rusty like shit and Rusty's now kind of into it. He's like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Gets me hard. I don't mind this. Sierra, talk dirty to me. All right. Tell me I'm a bad QB. Tell me I'm a piece of shit. Last one. Take it away. A rematch of last year's Super Bowl.
Was there a game today, was there, Jim?
Your team did not win last year's Super Bowl. Well, last season's Super Bowl. But you did win today.
In Arrowhead, which was pretty good.
21-17, Kelsey's again. Did you know that they're brothers?
Weird. Apparently.
I've heard this somewhere. Hurts was really good. Would have been nice if you found AJ Brown for a touchdown, just saying, but
he would have found, he won one reception for 8 yards, Jim.
Chaos. But Smith, that big catch at the end.
Yeah, Devontae had the 90-something yards. Swift, 90 yards. 100 yards on the ground. From scrimmage. It wasn't the best showing, particularly in the first half from the offense in general. It started off well for both teams. 7-all for quite a while, but it just wasn't that high pace that you were expecting. They jumped out. The Chiefs jumped out to 17-7 at the half, and then the Eagles kind of made the adjustment, and that was it. Right.
That's also, It's also three straight games for KC where they've not scored in the second half.
So weird. They've got something like a 2.5 average in second half points, which is the lowest in the league, and it's strange, right? Like, yeah, don't get me wrong, the Eagles had to make some adjustments, but were very, very much helped by a shit ton of dropped passes from KC wide receivers. There was obviously the big one to Valdez Scantling, like with 2 minutes to go, got him in stride, reached out, would have been, if not in the end zone, down at the one. But he drops it. There was a one from Watson across the middle. There was one from Kelsey where he spent it before he had it. He was heading up the field and you could hit him in the hands and he was off. And you're like, oh, shit. And then, the big one, there's multiple from Watson, actually, because there was the one very, very end of the game. As an Eagles supporter, I was like, oh, Mahomes has got fucking more than 2 minutes to go here. He's going to march down this field and see you later. Shit. So reception with a roughing the passer on Fletcher Cox. So that gave him an extra 15 leading into the 2 minute drill. And then you're like, oh, come on, Hassan. Come on, Josh Sweat. Time to step up. The next minute, Josh Sweat barrels his way through two offensive linemen, gets Pat down and forces an intentional grounding. And all of a sudden we end up at 4th and 24, I think it was. But even then, with the extra time, hits Watson for 26 yards in the hands, surrounded by Eagles defenders, and it's straight through the hands and into the helmet. And you're like, fucking hell, that would have made life interesting. And that's the first time in his professional career that Jason's beaten Travis.
Wow.
There you go.
Not bad. That's the story for me, the drops.
Yep.
And that leads pretty nicely into some year-nars. Mm. Number one, Patrick Mahomes, he's going to be pissed. He's like, I find this really, really frustrating, you know. We're out here and I'm throwing these balls and they're not catching them. Could not trading for someone like Devontae Adams or literally fucking anyone who can catch a ball cost them a soupy. Yeah, nah.
Well, mate, you've got to, that defense is going to carry him a long way. But just showed the first quarter and a bit that Travis just wasn't involved at all. Yep. They slowly got him involved in that touchdown, and that kind of got him started. But obviously he spread the ball around more than anyone else has this season, but he just doesn't have that safety valve, that deep one outside Travis, right? So doesn't have that Tyreek space. Trying to get Tony involved, trying to get Rice involved. That Rice guy is going to be it's going to be a weapon. But
it could be the saving grace, but it doesn't feel like it's going to be this year.
No. And it definitely could cost them. If they have another game if they had a game like today in the playoffs, yeah, it was raining, but it was raining for everyone.
Yep.
Just the same as you can't blame the field for losing the Super Bowl, so you can't blame the rain for dropping passes.
Eagles fans are going to try, but the vibe for me is like, yeah, you look at a team like Baltimore that can pressure them with their own offense, pressure that defense pretty hardcore, and their defense will be off like fucking just all over their pretty shitty receivers and forcing those sorts of drops. And if you can't manufacture a catch out of nothing outside of Kelsey, like I feel like that's the one where it'll sort of trip them up. So next one. That's it for Cincy, right? Yeah, nah.
Yeah, I think so, mate. We had that whole conversation about where they'd fit. Now we're on the way back, and you were just come on. It's the late run. They still were in touch when a bunch of those division games would just be stealing wins off each other. And here comes Cincy, and then that's cooked, mate. There's no way.
I think Pittsburgh are probably the big winners out of that because I think they've got two more games against Cincy down the stretch. If I just check that, so if they're 6-4 already. If they just can sort of, they've got one. Yeah, they've got the Bengals this week and they've got another one 3 weeks from the end of the season. So plenty of time for them to continue to pull wins out of their ass. Is this the worst year for QBs, though, you can remember, Gas? Yeah, nah.
Fuck, we've got what? Oh, what's the latest count on the number of backup QBs we've got starting? It was like 13 or 14 last week, wasn't it? So that's going to be even more.
What are the good ones? is my question to you. Who's left that's actually just decent?
Of the starters or of the backups?
Of the starters, right? Hurts, Mahomes, Dak, Lamar. They're the remaining probably elite ones. Because I'm not Josh Allen in there right now. Because week in, week out, he can fucking sink you. But they're the best four at the moment, I think.
Oh, best four. You got to put Purdy in there now.
You reckon? I'm still probably going to have Purdy on that next tier of like...
Next tier, yep.
I am not a superstar, but I'm fucking solid and I'm pretty fucking good.
Yep.
Tua is the same sort of thing where it's like he'll just have like weird games where you're like, Tua, what was that? Like even this week against the Raiders, it felt like there was three different times he's like, I reckon I want to give the Raiders the ball. And they're like, don't do that. And he's like, nah, but I kind of want to. And you're like, Jesus, Tua. CJ Stroud, rookie, awesome. Yep. Get it. Trevor Lawrence, again, bit of a roller coaster. Same with the Josh Allen vibes where the talent's obviously undeniable. Herbs, he's just completely fucking hamstrung. It feels like week in, week out by just either Keenan Allen dropping shit, Quentin Johnson dropping shit, his coach being a moron. And then you've got like just someone like Jared Goff. And you're like, Jared Goff is like the ninth best QB in the NFL. Like, what is.
And all of a sudden, based on stats alone, Rusty's in the top 10.
Exactly.
Like, what a world. What a world.
It's chaos. But that's kind of it. Like, out of 32 teams, it feels like we've got 10 half decent QBs.
Yep.
You've got one there for me.
Oh, yeah. You touched on it before, but is FedEx Field the biggest shithole in the league? Sewage coming from the sky a couple of years ago. The rail nearly collapsed on fucking Hurts a couple of years ago. And this week, the Commanders and Giants couldn't take a fucking shower after the game. No hot water, Jim.
We can't even blame Dan Snyder for this. So now I've got to get Magic Johnson on the case. Magic, that's true. Shit. What are you doing? Come on. Yeah. You want to get your buddy Josh. Get in there. Get your fucking overalls on. Where's the plumbers? Come on, mate.
It's either that or the turf at MetLife that keeps doing everyone's ACLs and Achilles.
It's a good call. Right?
But yeah, but the article that came out and the comments that came out from the facilities maintenance guys at FedEx were that they know what the issue is. They knew the issue before the game. But the thing that failed, the only way to repair it was to disconnect the water for the entire facility. And having 70,000 people there with the inability to get water during a football game was not going to fly. So they just had to leave it that only the change rooms had no, or that section of the field had no hot water. Imagine being out there for 3.5 hours, Jim.
In the cold.
As a millionaire, you know, and thinking, I can't even get a fucking shower, boys. That bus would have spelt fucking ripe, wouldn't it?
Not great.
Yeah.
You've also got the coach watch.
Of course. We're now at that time of the season, even though we've lost a couple. Now we've got some that are, there's no turning back, Jim. And it's no surprise. We've spoken about them quite extensively during this episode. But now it's just a matter of time, right? It's pretty safe to say that, you know, the moment that they traded away Montez Sweat and Chase, that Rivera was out the door. And Staley, you can feel the pressure through the fucking... the monitor of the press conference, right?
Yeah.
So now which one's which? Which one's going first? Because fuck them both.
Can I also offer up Frank Wright, which would be hilarious.
Surely. He's not going to be.
I feel like Tepper is just done. I don't fucking care, man. I don't like this guy. Fuck him. He's shit. It is. I think Staley, if they just keep losing, he could just be like, this is what I said before the season, right? Kellen Moore. Is literally like being
waiting in the
tapped on the shoulder going, we're going to fire Staley when he fucks up and then you will be the coach. And he's like, all right, I'll take this gig.
Well, the thing is, right, there's, as you said, well, I can work in two different ways. If you've got the next guy waiting in the wings, well, there's the potential to get rid of the current guy early, get him in, blah, blah, blah. Rivera, there's probably no benefit. And fucking just let him play it out. We've traded away all his pieces.
You could also just promote Bieniemy. Like, that's probably not a bad decision, right? Just go, right, fuck.
Yeah. But I don't think, to be honest, Jack Del Rio, none of the fans like him as to keep him as defensive anyway. But when you look at the Chargers, like, you're verging on another wasted season, right? So do you make the move sooner rather than later, hand it over to Kellen and go, look, We're not going to keep you on a short lease. Try and save this one, and then you've at least got to run in on next one, right? Yeah, if he saves it, bonus.
My question here is, like, will Belichick be the coach of Washington or LA next year? Yeah, nah. And to answer my own question, I feel like this might be, if the Chargers had more money and were much more of a glamorous kind of team, they'd be like, actually, Bill, 2 years with Herbs, what do you reckon? This defense, whip him into shape, then Callum Moore can take over from here and be like, to be honest, I'm pretty fucking old, wouldn't mind ratcheting up, getting the wins total over the record mark, and then I can ride off into the sunset. Maybe try to snag a soupy in the way. That'll shove it up Tom Brady's ass. And I feel like the Chargers are much more closer than Washington.
Yeah, I mean, there's also another sneaky element of that. And that is that I just feel that Bill Belichick will be very, very fucking spiteful. And he would like to keep that in the AFC and take down as many of those fucking clowns that he's played with over the years as possible. Just even the chance that he'd be able to go back into New England like Tom did, you know.
The only other thing is, like, Washington's, like, you know, storied franchise, even though they're now the Commanders and all that sort of shit. Yep. It does feel like there's a bit of a history behind that. And I don't know.
You wouldn't have to move as far if you're LA to, you know.
He's a warm weather man now, though. I don't know. Yeah. Right. Flying right away through the rest of this. Good bloke of the week. He'll be buying a beer. I got to buy one for Juzzy Herbs and Patrick Mahomes. Like, the verbal meme, the guys, the arm wrestler will just, like, fist together. We're together being let down by your receivers. 100% right there. And, of course, Brock Purdy. The perfect passer rating. Like, what more can he do? I don't know if you've heard, that's the first time it's ever happened for the Niners in like the last 30, 40 years or something like that. They've had some good QBs in that time. Like,
yeah, he's the best rating QB since the 80s or something like that, yeah.
Pretty bloody good.
For me, it's DeVito. His first win when he came in for Danny Dimes, that game, we were all taking the piss out of him because he had more backwards passes than he had forward. But now, and that Italian hand symbol, now in four games, Jim, he's got the same amount of TDs as Zach Wilson and Kenny Pickett in 10 games. And that's six TDs. But Danny Dimes had two in six games. So with the same fucking team, this guy has got six in four games. I think
the best stat I've seen is that he's got the most touchdown passes at MetLife Stadium already this season from both teams.
There you go.
That's awesome.
That's pretty sick. Right. That's pretty sick.
Tommy still lives with his parents. Yeah. Making $44,000 a game. And he's like, fuck, mum washes my jocks. Block of the week, aka old mate, no mates. A couple of tough ones here. Old mate, no mates. Jason Myers, anytime you miss the game winner. Not put in a position to succeed, really, I think.
We touched on that.
Fucky. Yeah. That was the first one he's missed since week four as well. Quinton Johnson, that is a tough bus ride home when you drop that one. It's like, literally, it's hitting you. And obviously, Marquez Valdes-Scantling.
I was going to say, you could name that or Watson, but at least they're going to be sharing the pain in of themselves. But I wouldn't be approaching. Luckily, they're playing at home, so they all get to take their own cars home and don't have to sit on the bus. But you'd be leaving Patrick in his own corner, wouldn't you? You wouldn't be saying g'day on your
MVS also had the awesome helmet slam into the wall as he was walking out through it. It's like, that checks out. Zach Wilson, obviously, old mate, no mates. He did get a cuddle by Robert Saleh as he sort of got shoved out of bounds.
Yep.
Which was nice. It felt pretty, I don't know, symbolic going down with your QB, Rob Saleh.
He also was less of a cunt in his press conference than he was when he got benched last season. When it was like, well, I don't know what they want from me kind of shit. Yep. And then this year, it was like, oh, yeah, I kind of get it. It makes sense.
Kareem Jackson, obviously, we talked about earlier. That hit on Dobbs is just full-blown dipshit, fuckhead maneuver. And Drew Locke, that is an old mate. No mate's like, oh, man, I got to play.
I mean, six passes, 3 yards, one interception. Oof.
Amazing. Oof. That is that's a tough session in the QB room on Tuesday.
Yeah. For me, it's the producers of a CBS broadcast who made the questionable decision, Jim, to cut to Damar Hamlin on the sidelines while his teammate was getting carted off in an ambulance, reminiscent of last year, Jim. Yeah. And they just cut to him going, oh, remember when that happened to that guy?
Yeah. Yeah. Imagine what's going through his mind right now. I'm like, it's probably not good.
Yeah,
fucks.
Yep.
Jesus.
Fucking hell.
Anyway. Remember when he was in an ambulance? Like, yeah, it was really scary.
Yep.
Anyway, Outback Takehouse. It's Tuesday at Outback. You know what that means? That's right. Screw it. We're going to do TGIF oil drum cans full of icy cold Foster's Lager, but on a Tuesday, because why the fuck not? It's Australian for horse piss. I mean beer, same thing. It's icy cold oil drum cans full of icy cold horse piss, a.k.a. Foster's Lager, and it's only at Outback. And today's flame grill take, it's not actually that flame grill, but deflected passes should not be lumped onto the fucking QB. That should be some sort of separate stat as a team INT, because that's bullshit. Feels very unfair that the QB gets slugged with an INT when you over there can't fucking catch it when it hits you in the hand, you idiot. And then you gift it to the other team. Blow it out your ass. Team INTs only at Outback. This one has always like sort of rubbed me the wrong way, and it happened a couple of times this week. I'm like, it's not the QB's fault that his dummy fucking receiver gets his hands to it, bobbles it, and then slaps it up in the air like a fucking Mr. Bean-esque character. Like, what are we doing? And the other team's like, well, thanks, man. Scoosh. Like, that feels like a receiver fumble. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. Counterpoint.
Nice.
You have to eliminate screen passes and only count their yards based on air yards.
It's a tricky one.
Yeah, so all for every complaint last year that it was like, oh, Dax leading the league in interceptions, but 7 of them came off the hands of the other receivers. For every one of those, you've got someone going, oh, look at 45,000-year-old Drew Brees still throwing for 4,500 yards. Like, yeah, but they were all slant passes to Michael Thomas and screen passes to Kamara, who just took off between people, right?
I think as long as the ball is caught beyond the line of scrimmage, then we're all like, I think that's what, like, I think anything behind the line of scrimmage should basically count as a run. Like, it's as simple as that.
So the Eagles do, that's funny when you, when they do interviews with Sirianni, when he's like, you didn't run it enough. I'm like, nah, in your definition, we didn't run it enough. Because some of those behind the passes, we consider as the RPO. That's the run part of the RPO. Right?
Sweet.
Yeah.
Anyway. Little Aussie Butler of the Week. I enjoyed the Jordan Mailata experience again today because it's, you know, the NFL Australia existence for me watching all the games that I do. Obviously, the Monday games and even the Friday games for the most part, I'm in the NFL Australia studio, aka at home.
Yeah.
But the Tuesday games, I'm in the office all the time, and the primetime games are great. And when the Aussies pop up, it's interesting to see if who recognizes what's going on.
Yeah.
And there's a fuck ton in our office now. It's like, Jordan Mailata, that's the Aussie. I'm like, oh, that's fucking nice.
Yep.
Recognition.
Was. I hope they weren't watching that bit today where there was a quite epic hold call and on my ladder and I'm like, no, Jordan, don't do there's a flag. Don't hold him. Yep. Anyway. While we're talking about that, probably if you haven't listened to it, definitely listen to the My Ladder episode of the New Heights podcast. Where the Kelsey brothers, have you heard of them, Jim? And do you know they're brothers?
They can sling some listeners our way if they want.
They do a good interview on him about on his journey through the international, you know, the pathways from the Rabbitohs and it's really good. Yeah, that's it. And it's a really good journey. And he talks about meeting all, if you're an Eagles fan, he talks about, you know, meeting Stout for the first time and all that sort of stuff and getting drafted, that whole process. It's pretty cool. Yeah.
Nice. Captain Fantasy, just a couple of little ones. You are running roughshod over our Legends League. No, you 10-1, I think, at this point.
10-1. Made it even hilarious today, this year's week, was I had to post it on our chat because, Jim, the Eagles had a bye last week and I had to pick up Geno and that went rather well for me, but I forgot to swap them out. So I still won, even though my QB1 was sitting on my bench. So I was pretty happy with that. Can't complain.
I snagged another win. I'm actually finally off the bottom of the ladder, which is nice.
Hey!
Isn't that good? Talk about the little Aussie battler of the week. But when I dug into the numbers a little bit more, I discovered a couple of things. Not only did I finally have my best week of the year, it turned out that I'm like, hang on a second. I feel like I've not had that shit of a year. I've dealt with my injuries pretty well and just have that little bit of a check. And I've actually scored, I believe, the fourth most points in our entire league and had very easily the second most points scored against me nice. This season. Whereas you, my friend, who was sitting at 10-1, have actually scored the second most points in the league. That's fine, but have had the second least amount of points scored against you. Oh, no, third least, because there is like 1 point separating second and third, I believe. So
it's because everyone like comes up against me and they just like shit bricks, Jim. Yeah. It's just
you play great defense.
I play great defense. That's what we always say in First Down Dynasty League. It's mate, it's all about your defense.
Breaking my heart. All right, we've got a lot of similar picks this week, so we can fly through this one.
Yep.
It is time for the NFL Australia Week 12 picks. Week 12, guys. Where's the time gone, I ask you? My week has gone in a hail of infant spew and toddler spew and then old mate wife spew.
Oh,
I'm probably about to start spewing in the next 25 to 30 minutes, but it should be okay. I'll be good. We're going to get through this one. Everybody's playing. It is Thanksgiving. I'm giving thanks to a huge array of 32 NFL teams playing finally this week. There are some belters. Thanksgiving slate. Let's do it. Green Bay, Detroit. Finally, Detroit are actually good on Thanksgiving, guys. It's a Thanksgiving miracle. They are 7.5-point favorites against the hated Green Bay Packers.
And give them a fucking flogging.
NFC North rivals. This should be an absolute ripper. I love this. I'm going Detroit. So are you.
Yep.
That offense is too strong, I think, for Green Bay. And Detroit at home are really, really good. I love Goff in this one.
And there's also going to be a bit of, you just know that there's going to be a bit of spiciness for Dan Campbell too. Going to get the boys revved up to just.
This is Thanksgiving at home. You're going to play for your families or I'm going to bite their kneecaps off. It's like, all right, Dan.
So, yep.
Go have some turkey legs. Exactly. I already ate two turkeys. It's like, all right. Cool. But I love Detroit in this one. Should be an absolute ripper. Washington, Dallas, another, you know, pretty big, even though Washington stink, it is a big divisional matchup. Dallas are 10.5-point favorites at home on Thanksgiving in the mid-afternoon game. We are both taking Washington because all they do is randomly play the Eagles and the Cowboys pretty tough every time they play. So
I'm hoping to just keep it within that 10 points. The $1.16 to $5.20. Might put just a couple of sneaky bucks on Washington because just like when Dobbs in Arizona just knocked off the Cowboys, maybe they're just going to get a bit overconfident and just drop a fucking random game. Washington keeping it annoyingly close is exactly what is in their MO. So going to Washington to cover the spread.
They were so bad last week. It just feels like Sam Howell might bounce back enough where they just get some cheap touchdowns late. Like it could be 35-10 and they score twice. And you're like, that ended up being pretty high scoring. Where did that come from?
Yep.
Then we have San Francisco, Seattle, which is really spicy because, again, we just talked about Shanahan versus Pete Carroll.
Yep.
It's like, this should be great. We've both gone the Niners -6.5, though. Because I think Carroll had a work. I can't even remember anymore. McVay owns Carroll. Carroll owns Shanahan. Shanahan owns McVay. Got it.
Yep. So we've tipped incorrectly according to that strategy.
We're tipping this wrong, but I feel like the line is probably the thing that sticks out to me because it's 6.5.
Yep.
In Seattle, Geno got banged up. The Niners defense should make short work of this Seattle team.
I agree. Just in current form, you just that offense is fucking is since Debo has come back, and it's clicking, right?
McCaffrey's starting up another touchdown barrage after his, 14-game streak came to an end. But so that's Thanksgiving. Awesome slate. Really fun one. So your Friday will be chockers full of football. And so will your Saturday, because we've got a Black Friday game, you little ripper. Unfortunately, the Jets are playing. So this stinks. Miami, -1.5 against the Jets. This feels like a layup, even with the Jets' defense. The thing is, this is outside. This is Miami. It is Thanksgiving. It gave me a little bit of pause where, obviously, they didn't cover at home against the Raiders this week because it was like a 7.5-point line, I think, and maybe even higher, and it sort of slipped backwards. I am going to take Miami because I just do not see that Jets offense just doing anything to keep up with Miami, right?
Nah, definitely not. Definitely not. It's got to be more about Miami dropping than the Jets playing up to them, right? It's just if they don't work out a way to put up points, well, then it could be a struggle. But
it's the same as the Buffalo game, right? Where it's just like Buffalo just manufactures some points out of nothing, and it's like, oh, we can't make up those points.
Yeah,
how are we going to do that unless Tua has a meltdown and gives them like 3 INTs or something, and they just never touch the ball again. But anyway, tough one in New Jersey. New England Giants. This game sucks.
Yeah.
I enjoyed having the bye this week. The stress. Now I hate this. We've got the Giants +3.5 at home, and we've both gone the Giants against the Pats. The Pats are horrible. They have
Who's starting for you?
That's a good question. I don't really think it matters. The Giants at least showed this week that they can play a coherent game of football. And at home, this would be hilarious for them to then beat the Patriots after, you know, spoiling a couple of Super Bowls. It would also be hilarious if the Giants cover, but the Pats win this by 3 and the Pats knock themselves back down the draft order, because that's the most Pats. Because
that was the that was what was going around the Giants Reddit this week, was just like, what are you do? Why are you happy, you idiots? We're just costing ourselves draft position with stupid fucking unnecessary wins.
Yep, it stinks. I think the Giants just do enough to keep that close, and we just struggle to score anyway. Pittsburgh Cincy, we've both gone Pittsburgh 0.5-point favorites just because Cincy with backups. Pittsburgh's defense, I trust that a little bit more.
Yeah.
Considering it's a 0.5-point, it's like whatever. So I think Pittsburgh can win this. Even on the road in Cincy, it did give me pause, but Pittsburgh, I think I just can rely on their defense just enough.
I just don't know. How do you pick Cincy? You don't know what they're going to show. No. Right? Anyway.
Carolina, Tennessee, you've gone Tennessee at home, which is the smart move. I've taken Carolina +4.5 because I think Tennessee still win. Carolina stick around just enough, and Tennessee struggle to score maybe a little bit. Carolina cover that 4.5-point line. It's in a weird spot where it's like, 4.5 is always a squirrely line, but I'll take the Carolina Panthers. And you like Tennessee though? Is it the home thing?
Yeah. That's the home thing. I still have a bit of faith in Levis. I just wish they'd somehow discover that run game again. Like, King Henry's not being himself. But look, we'll see. I'm just going to go with Tennessee in this one. And then if they'll cause me to curse myself, and then I won't bet on for the rest of the year.
I hated this next one. Jacksonville at Houston.
Fucking great game, but I was
trying to pick it though. So 1.5-point line for Jacksonville.
I didn't even know the line when I picked it.
-1.5.
There you go.
It's Houston, as I mentioned, 4-1 at home. I think Jacksonville can just do enough to win. Like Houston, a bit of MacGyvering some of these wins. And Jacksonville on the road, sometimes wonky, but.
Well, all of a sudden when our we're getting to the pointy end where this is for the division, right?
Basically, it's a crucial matchup. So
but that's exactly the sort of thing that Jacksonville have been dropping.
Exactly, they'll gack it.
But that said, look, I think the smart money is right now. There's a little bit more experience in that Jacksonville team, and see how we go.
Nice one. Indy host Tampa Bay. I've gone Tampa Bay +2.5. You've gone Indy. I think Indy are basically this close to giving up the ghost.
Yeah.
And Tampa Bay tend to sort of have played pretty tough the last week or two, maybe.
Yeah.
Baker gives them a little something.
They've both been grinding out games. And once again, when you talk about teams that don't often play each other, like
Tampa Bay played Indy.
Yeah, how the fuck do they match up? And they're both, as we said, been grinding out either close wins or close losses. And you're just like, oh, I don't fucking know. So I've gone home here.
Yeah. Because I think, what was it? So Tampa Bay lost to the Niners. It was 13. They beat the Titans the week before at home.
Mm-hmm.
This is in Indy. They have beaten the Saints on the road this year and the Vikings in week one. Tampa Bay might just have like one more weird win in them, I think, and I think they can win that. New Orleans and Atlanta. I've been to a game that's exactly this. In Atlanta, it was like the loudest thing I've been to just about, apart from like a McCluskey show. We're both going the Saints plus a half point because it's gross, but... Who do you trust on Atlanta?
Yeah, it's a wild position to kind of be in because Ritter's trash. Heinicke has shown flashes, but then done classic Heinicke shit. And New Orleans has something to prove because it's theirs for the taking. Now is when they need to just settle down a little bit and do what we've said that they're going to do and play in a shit division and just kind of just pull away with it, right?
Yeah. It's also like I'm loving this week's slate because you've got so many division clashes as well, right? And like it surprised the hell out of me when I was at this game in Atlanta just how much like antipathy there was between the two teams.
Mm.
They hated each other. The fan bases hated each other. Like, plenty of folks came up from New Orleans. This is Thanksgiving weekend. Who knows what's going to happen? It's going to be psycho in there. So, I wouldn't usually. I'd usually probably go Atlanta in that point, but New Orleans can just steal this and like absolutely. You can sort of. You can almost envision this, right? Like inside Thanksgiving weekend on that Sunday afternoon, it's just like getting dour in there. Yeah. Another divisional matchup: Rams, Arizona. We've both gone the Rams because. I was tempted to go Arizona, but I just Kyler against this defense, even with like the sort of makeup players, a lot of it sort of constitutes. I just don't trust Arizona, so I'm going to go the Rams.
No, I don't know. I've like Kyler's shown a little bit of something since coming back, but not enough to put any trust in. And I don't trust the Rams either.
Yep.
I went backwards and forwards on this one. I'm just thinking of, you know what? Once again, could be a complete false economy having McVay play against Pete Carroll this week and making it, you know, thinking something of it. But yeah, I'm just going to show a little bit more faith in the Rams.
Yeah, the Arizona defense doesn't really scare me. And if Stafford can sort of keep just finding Puka Nacua, you're laughing. Denver hosting Cleveland. We've both gone Denver just because I think the QB situation right in Cleveland.
There's a bit more consistency coming out of Denver at the moment. But this could be a massive grind, right? Like, Rulo scoring because of that Cleveland defense. But
we just had that 13-10 game. It feels like this could be that again, right?
Exactly.
So both gone Denver -2.5. KC go to Vegas. KC relish the chance to kick the shit out of the Raiders.
The get-right game, right? The
get-right 9.5-point favorites. You could make this anything up to 14. I'd be like, give me KC. Don't care. So 9.5 all over it.
Yeah.
Ever since Gruden did some doughies in the parking lot, right? Outside of Arrowhead many years ago. So, Buffalo, Philly. This is an absolute cracker. We're both going Philly -3.5 because Buffalo, I just don't trust them, especially on the road, especially against a competent team like Philly. So 3.5 doesn't scare me at all. If we'd seen a little bit more from Buffalo, especially defensively, I'd be like, oh, I don't know, man. This feels like the sort of game that Philly could screw up. But Buffalo just have not looked good.
So one of the things that was part of Eagles coming off the bye was that Roby would be back and have someone decent in the slot. He played well a little bit today. That Byard would have an extra 2 weeks in the playbook. He got the interception of Mahomes and he played on Kelsey most of the day. And really, based on this season, it's take out Stefan and then it's, you know, all right, Josh, beat us, right? And that defense for them has been banged up. So I'd like to,
say at home, Philly in this position will take care of business, but this is exactly the one that Philly was could just potentially just like we played our Super Bowl this week, like they would have been drained coming off the bye and just playing that game, so much intensity in it that they could just have the foot off the gas and get jumped by Buffalo. But I have to put faith in the boys at home, so I'm for 3.5 points, I'm going with Philly.
Nice one. Baltimore go to the Chargers, 3.5 point favorites in LA.
How can you bet on the Chargers here?
You just can't. That defense, it just doesn't scare anybody.
No.
I think Baltimore are going to love that one. Chicago, Minnesota to round everything off. We've both gone Chicago, +3.5. There's a little bit of something about that Chicago team this week. We're like, I don't know, feel like in Minnesota on Thanksgiving.
Something weird. Dusty Fields.
Scrambling quarterback versus a blitzing defense. That's kind of what I'm like. All right, they can manufacture just enough to stay within three.
Yep.
Let's go.
Yep.
7-5 this week. So pulled.
Clawing it back, mate. Clawing it back.
Slowly.
Different.
What do we got? 80. That's episode 86. Done.
Yeah.
There you go. Done. That is a 16 game slate. All picked and previewed for you. It's going to be awesome. Thanksgiving. Wow. Unreal. It was a great time of year in the States, isn't it? Oh, it's just beautiful. You better, you won't be cranking your whiskey just yet, your Eagles whiskey. So,
no, so just, I didn't actually mention that. So, my mate, Chuck from Area 7 recently came back from the States to play to support The Living End and their 25th anniversary shows. And he lives in Philly now. So the Eagles did a collaboration with a whiskey and a vodka, and he bought me back a bottle of each. So they're now sitting on Gaz's desk in the office and not to be cranked until we win a Super Bowl. So that could be, mate, I could be buried with these fucking things. Who knows? Who knows? Could be lasting a couple of months, and it could be taking it to my grave.
I mean, if you win the Super Bowl, you still might get buried with them as well, right?
True, that is true.
Who knows what'll happen?
Put anything past me.
Jeez. I do like the, you got a bottle of each. I thought, you know, maybe there's a chance he's mixed them together in one bottle. That's how your booze works, right? There you go. Episode 86 of NFL Australia in the bag. That was an awesome week. Fun week to wrap up. But this weekend ahead should be unreal. Love Thanksgiving. Spread out across the week. You end up forgetting what happened on the Friday games. And then there's a Saturday game. And it's like, all right, cool. My wife's never going to talk to me again. But anyway, in the meantime, check us a follow across Facey, IG, Twitter, all the good stuff. And thanks for rating review on your podcast app, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, YouTube, Spotify, all that good stuff. And check us a, I don't know, just you can star stuff as well. I think you can on Spotify. You got to find it. It really does help. Right. So go do that. Big thanks to House Hats for the intro and outro song. They rule. Go listen to their album. And get around NBA Australia back daily. Absolutely cranking that out at the moment. Lots of yelling. My throat is... She's getting a bit rough, but she's all right. What have you got to plug there, girls?
Mate, I'm going to plug something, a third-party thing. So it's this weekend, it's the 10th anniversary of the Catfish and Sparrows cheesesteak. So that's Catfish, great. For those listening at home who may not be in Melbourne, is where Jim and I go and have the Super Bowl party every year. It's just down on Gertrude Street in Fitzroy, and Sparrow's Philly Cheesesteaks, started by Gino Sparrow, a bloke from Philly, a good Eagles man himself, just down on Gertrude Street. Get down there. They're doing celebrations, different fucking drink specials all weekend, and you might see Jim and I down there at some point.
Yeah, when are we going?
I don't know. I only remembered it today, so I should probably organize. Cash is at the old missus is at the has got a wedding to go to, so I guess I might have to wander down and see what's going on.
Watch out.
Yeah, I know, right? I'm off the chain, Jim. I'm off the chain.
They never saw him again.
Yep.
All right. You can also get around Codebet. That's where I have my big NFL Friday column. Yeah, it's really good. Good website. All right, good stuff. We'll catch you next week, you dickheads.
See yous.
Later, Hosen. Wish that I knew, and then I'd still wear it on. I guess I'll deal this time. I work out fine. It will.
broken.